This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Kidnapped in Haiti. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, October 18th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A Christian aid group based in Ohio says 17 of its missionaries have been taken by a notorious gang in Haiti after a roadside ambush.
West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has reportedly identified his demands for supporting a massive spending bill from fellow Democrats.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says the supply chain crisis will continue into next year.
And why education is dominating the governor's race in Virginia.
The only ads you'll see blanketed across the airwaves are about education and attacking Terry McAuliffe specifically for making a comment at a debate saying that the interests of parents should be secondary to the interests of school administrators and school board. That soundbite has just been sort of the rallying cry for Youngkin, and it's also rallied Republicans to his side.
Josh Kraushaar at National Journal on how the Virginia governor's race got so heated over education. A Christian aid organization based in Ohio says a group of its missionaries has been kidnapped by a notorious gang in Haiti. Christian Aid Ministries said in a statement yesterday that a group that included 16 Americans and one Canadian was kidnapped Saturday morning when they were ambushed by heavily armed men during a trip to an orphanage. The organization said that five of those who were abducted are children. Negotiations are reportedly underway. Former FBI agent Richard Frankel on ABC News.
A lot of the time, the gangs will look to kidnap foreigners because they assume that the foreigners may have more money because they're traveling there. They've come with money, or they're able to reach out to their families, their businesses, and their churches overseas.
An organization that tracks such violence said the kidnapping was carried out by members of the 400 Mwozo gang, which is said to be responsible for about 80% of mass kidnappings in the Caribbean nation. A UN report says kidnappings rose to 328 in the first 8 months of this year, compared with 234 during all of 2020. Federal investigators trying to find the cause of a cracked underwater oil pipeline off Southern California have narrowed their focus to a 1,200-foot cargo ship registered in Panama. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The AP says investigators believe the pipeline may have been dragged along the ocean floor for months by a ship's anchor in rough seas. A team yesterday said the ship may have struck the pipeline with its anchor when it arrived at the port of Long Beach during a severe storm in January, breaking the pipe's inch-thick concrete casing and dragging it more than 100 feet. It's not clear if that incident caused the spill or whether another object also collided with the pipe. Investigators also haven't ruled out a pre-existing problem with the pipe. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Earlier this month, Coast Guard officials said that the Amplify Energy pipeline had a gash in it over a foot wide. The pipeline leak caused nearly 25,000 gallons of crude oil to spill into the ocean, killing birds, fish, and mammals. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg expects supply chain issues facing the U.S. will continue into next year. Mr. Buttigieg, appearing on CNN yesterday, said the supply chain issues demonstrated a need for House Democrats to pass the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, which allocates $17 billion to U.S. ports, yet remains stalled due to party infighting over a separate spending bill.
If you think about those images of ships, for example, waiting at anchor on the West Coast, you know, every one of those ships is full of record amounts of goods that Americans are buying.
The comments come as President Biden's $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill makes its way through Congress, where it has already passed the Senate, but is now stalled in the House. The legislation includes money for roads, bridges, and public transportation. His comments come days after President Biden announced that the ports of Los Angeles will remain open for 60 extra hours per week to unload containers. Coming up next, how education became the top issue in the Virginia governor's race.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. If you're looking for an origin story about how the debate over education in Virginia got so heated, look no further than the extended closure of most public schools throughout the previous school year. Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal, says the polarizing decision to keep schools shuttered for most of the year wasn't just controversial in its own right. It also served as a gateway for other parental concerns to rise to the forefront of the political conversation. Josh, explain.
Well, it is one of the top issues. It's the number one issue for the Republicans. Glenn Youngkin, if you're in Virginia and you're turning on your TV, the only ads you'll see blanketed across the airwaves are about education and attacking Terry McAuliffe specifically for making a comment at a debate saying that the interests of parents should be secondary to the interests of school administrators and school boards. That soundbite has just been sort of the rallying cry for Youngkin, and it's also rallied Republicans to his side, and really won over, or at least tried to pick off some of these more moderate voters who are disillusioned with the state of education in the country and the state, and are moving in his direction. What's interesting is Terry McAuliffe hasn't really run on, I mean, he's running on a very different education message. He's talking a sort of a traditional Democratic message of funding schools, providing pre-K to help parents, childcare, the bread and butter that you usually hear from Democrats in an election. And they've only belatedly responded to the attacks that Youngkin has been making on critical race theory, the curriculum, and the standards in schools across the state. These are sort of resonant issues among parents. Anything from the magnet school, one of the best schools in the country, getting rid of its admissions test in Fairfax County, to sort of age-inappropriate curricula, focusing on gender identity, focusing on race essentialism, really just driving race as a central element in everything that's taught at the schools. That's really driving not just conservatives, but a lot of middle-of-the-road parents dissatisfied with what they're seeing and the changes in the curriculum. And Youngkin is betting that though that dissatisfaction, that disillusionment, will be enough to get him over the top in this close election.
What was the change of message you referenced that Mr. McAuliffe had with regards to school openings during the pandemic?
Well, it's interesting because I started reporting on this issue last year, and I was struck that when Terry McAuliffe kicked off his campaign last December in front of a school in Richmond, he was talking about education, but he didn't say a thing about the school closures that were taking place as a result of the pandemic at the time. And I thought that was an unusual omission, given that that was a really big frustration for parents, not just Republican parents, but a lot of Democratic parents in Northern Virginia as well. And he didn't even say a word about it. It took him a few months to even address the issue at all. And I think there's sort of a blind spot of, a lot of Democrats are content to claim that Democrats or the claim that frustration about the state of public school education is about racism or about things that are not legitimate. In reality, in my reporting and in my conversations, this is actually a bipartisan issue. It's a bipartisan sense of frustration that parents are having, and I think the school closures and the issues of schools remaining closed last year, even as the pandemic dissipated, was a frustration across the board and was something of a gateway. It was something of an issue that really opened a lot of parents' eyes to what's actually happening in the schools and with the school administrators.
We're speaking with Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. He's written a piece about the Virginia governor's race, talking about the importance of education as a subject. He's written multiple pieces about it. One of them is called One Party's Bubble is About to Burst in Virginia. Explain that, because this was a look at kind of how suburban voters might react here at the polls.
Yeah, this is about a little more than education. It covers the issue of vaccine mandates. And, politicians are operating more in bubbles these days. You only hear from your supporters. You're only hearing from the base. It's harder to get a good read on where the middle of the road persuadable voters are. Usually that disadvantages Republicans who have been, beholden to Trump. But in Virginia, I think, and I argue in that column, Democrats may be in a little bit of a bigger bubble. They're hearing from people in the most affluent suburban areas, people who normally vote for them, about, you know, the importance of vaccine mandates, about how critical race theory is not an issue at all. And, you know, Terry McAuliffe has said that it's a made-up issue. It's a mirage, which is not the case. Not that, I mean, people may have their own definitions of what it is, but the change in curriculum in a more race-centric direction is a very real thing.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
U.S. officials are working with Haitian authorities to try to secure the release of 12 adults and 5 children with the U.S.-based missionary group who were abducted over the weekend by a gang of notorious for killings, kidnappings, and extortion. Edward Graham of relief organization Samaritan's Purse spoke with Fox.
Until we actually take some steps to help and train their police and bring them up and to educate them on proper policing and ethics, this is going to continue to happen.
Authorities say the gang has also been blamed for the kidnappings of 5 priests and 2 nuns earlier this year.
Number two.
Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says supply chain disruptions are expected to continue for a while. He appeared on CNN.
Well, certainly a lot of the challenges that we've been experiencing this year will continue into next year.
Buttigieg says the supply chain issues demonstrate a need for House Democrats to pass the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, which allocates $17 billion to U.S. ports.
Number three.
Fire crews have made significant progress against a wildfire burning for nearly a week in Southern California's coastal mountains. More than 1,600 firefighters are battling the blaze west of Santa Barbara and have stopped its forward growth. The blaze is now 78% contained. Your favorite TV shows and movies will carry on uninterrupted. Film studios and production crews have reached a last-minute deal to avoid a strike by some 60,000 workers that would have frozen the entertainment world. The workers still need to approve the deal, but the strike set to start today has been called off for the time being. The strike would have halted production on everything from big budget blockbusters to daily talk shows and soap operas.
It's over. We can't hurt anyone ever again.
No one told you. Michael Myers is alive.
One thing that does particularly well in October, horror movies. Halloween Kills may be available to watch at home, but the latest installment in the Michael Myers saga took in an impressive $50.4 million in its opening weekend in theaters. The James Bond film No Time to Die was second with $24.3 million. Ridley Scott's medieval bonanza The Last Duel, starring Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Adam Driver, bombed, making just $4.8 million. The film cost more than $150 million to make.
Mad and Ben, what is up here?
Whoops.
Yikes. Thanks, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Americans are getting a stark warning from the government. Expect higher heating bills this winter. An explanation from J.J. McCorvey, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. J.J., what's ahead?
The Energy Information Administration gave us a warning that nearly half of U.S. households that use natural gas mostly to warm their homes can expect to spend an average of 30% more on their bills compared to last year. You know, depending on the household, that could be a lot of money. And it also kind of added that that bills could be even 50% higher depending on, you know, how much colder the winter is.
My goodness. So what are the basics behind this?
So last year, for example, last winter, the average cost that it was to heat homes with natural gas was about $573. And the agency expects that this season, from October 1st to March 31st, that average cost could be $746, which is crazy.
That's, you know, this comes at a time, though, it could be a real whammy for some families, right? Because it seems like the price of everything else is going up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the experts I talked to which range from like HVAC experts to like financial planners. They were really most concerned about people who are still kind of recovering from, you know, the economic devastation from the coronavirus pandemic. And so, you know, if you're unemployed or, you know, having a hard time, finding work or maybe have some healthcare costs, you know, an increase in a natural gas bill could kind of implode your budget. So it could be bad for some folks.
We're speaking with J.J. McCorvey, personal finance reporter at The Wall Street Journal, about his story entitled "A Winter of Giant Gas Bills is Coming. Are you ready?" I guess at what point might you be disconnected if you're having trouble paying? That could be a thing, I guess, right?
You know, it could be. I spoke to a woman named Karen Lusson, who is a staff attorney at the National Consumer Law Center. And she actually pointed to some federal programs that could really help people who worry that they might be disconnected. You know, maybe you already have an arrearage, you know, you have a lot of money owed and you're worried that this could, you know, what happens over the next couple of months could actually result in disconnection. Then you should look into things like LIHEAP, which is the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. You know, they can help on utility bills, but they just require that recipient's income doesn't exceed 60% of your state's median income.
It's J.J. McCorvey, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, October 18. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: a group of American missionaries kidnapped in Haiti. Coast Guard says a container ship dragged an oil pipeline months before it spilled. Classes canceled through tomorrow at Grambling State University in Louisiana after a second fatal shooting on campus in a week. NBC says Dr. Anthony Fauci's fear of crowded football stadiums becoming COVID super spreader events has not materialized. Apple hosts a virtual event today. We could see new MacBooks and the effort in Maine to remove vulgar license plates. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Although workers migrated from metropolises to smaller cities and towns during the pandemic, census data shows that the 10 largest U.S. cities have grown in the past decade. What gives? Senwu Tan, reporter at the Washington Times, has been crunching some new figures. Senwu, what are we learning?
As, you know, remote work has increased during the COVID-19 pandemic, there have been some people who have been moving from larger metropolitan areas to smaller towns and cities. So, for example, a couple of the people that I spoke with, one moved to Topeka, Kansas from the greater New York City area. And then another one was also in the, is actually in upstate New York and moved back to Hawaii. And both had moved back through relocation initiatives. But so although it's interesting because we did see large U.S. cities still grow during this past decade, However, there were some micro areas, which means that, you know, it's an area that has one or more adjacent counties with at least one urban core area of 10,000 to 50,000 people grow as well. So, for example, micro areas in North Dakota, Montana, Idaho, and Utah all grew according to census data. And then if we looked at LinkedIn did analysis too, and found some of the smaller towns and cities where there were a number of remote workers applying for jobs from those cities. So some of those cities were Bend, Oregon, Asheville, North Carolina, Wilmington, Delaware, Eugene, Oregon, Johnson City, Tennessee, just to give an idea.
Wow.
So, and with regards to remote work, some of the stats there, more than a third of employers anticipate that 40% or more of their staff will work mostly remotely after the pandemic. And that is up from 5% before the global spread of COVID-19.
Right. So, you know, I found it interesting that you said the big cities are growing. Which ones? And then who's adding to that growth? Who's moving back in, I guess?
So census data shows that the 10 largest U.S. cities have grown in the past decade, and that includes New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Houston. So now all those cities have more than 2 million people, and all the 10 largest cities have populations of 1 million or more. And I can't really say like who exactly is moving there, but I think we might have expected to see some of these cities maybe actually lose some population just because of some of the migration patterns.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Right. That's what we initially thought, but the data actually shows otherwise. And I thought maybe the Bureau had predicted before this data came out that that might have been the case. I'm not sure. But the data actually, you know, gave us some surprises. So, wow. Right.
We're speaking with Senwoo Tan, reporter at The Washington Times. Her piece is called U.S. Workers Decamp from Cities to Smaller Towns via Remote Work. Boy, the couple of references in your story, the one guy who went from the greater New York area to Kansas, and then there was the upstate New York who went to Hawaii. I mean, that you talk about culture shock, right? And they thought that these would be temporary, and they wound up being permanent.
Right. Well, the first guy, so the guy who moved from the greater New York city area, who moved to Topeka, Kansas, he actually thought that was only going to be, you know, maybe a couple months, but then his work actually became, he was able to get it to be permanently remote. So he decided to make that move permanent. And his wife actually has family over there. So They were familiar with the area. And they actually wanted to move beforehand. But because of the job opportunities, he felt were better in the New York City area. But now because he could take his job with him, he was like, oh, okay, I can now finally make this move to Topeka, Kansas. Now, the guy from Hawaii, he was actually a Hawaii native. So he had family over there. But he decided to move away from Hawaii because he wanted to pursue software engineering. And he said that Hawaii just didn't have good opportunities for that. So he left Hawaii for upstate New York. And so that's where he was working for a few years before he was able to, you know, at IBM, make his job also permanently remote and then move back to the Hawaii area.
Thanks, Senwoo. Senwoo Tan, reporter at The Washington Times. Coming up next, the mic drop. Hey, do you ever feel boxed in by your wardrobe that you have to choose between comfort and style? Well, the founder of Cuts felt that way, so he reinvented the idea of work leisure apparel from the ground up, starting with the basic t-shirt. The result is a shirt stylish enough for the boardroom or the broadcast booth. I love shirts from Cuts. They're the most comfortable, most durable, and the most fashionably flexible. I've worn them with shorts and sandals and also under a suit jacket. And now they've got another innovation. Cuts Always On Joggers are pants designed to never take a day off, even when you do. From working out to eating out, Cuts Always On Joggers fit you and the situation perfectly with comfort that never quits and style that never disappoints. They're the choice of elite athletes like Patrick Mahomes, Damian Lillard, and Bryce Harper. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's work leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off your first order.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, with Jennifer back today, it's the perfect time for some snake stories. And we have not one, but two making news today. First, we start in Northern California, where more than 90 rattlesnakes were found under someone's home. That's 90. The scene was described on Facebook by the Sonoma County Reptile Rescue, who were called in to deal with the snakes crawling around someone's foundation. Al Wolf, who was the director of the reptile rescue, said he used a snake pole, and it took him nearly 4 hours to remove all the snakes, 92 in all, including more than 60 babies. All the snakes were northern Pacific rattlesnakes, the only venomous snake found in Northern California. Wolf described the majority of the snakes as fairly mellow in nature, even saying that there are some you could go up and pet, and others that you can't. The homeowner asked to remain anonymous in this case, in case the discovery upsets her neighbors. Yeah, you don't want to be the person who lives next door to the person who just had 90 snakes taken out from there. Although, I don't know, as a public service, maybe it's a good idea to tell your neighbors that there were 90 snakes in your basement because, or on your foundation, because maybe there's snakes living under your foundation.
Okay, right.
You know, you might want to have your house checked out as well.
Right. A little public service announcement there.
Yeah. Yeah. What if you then found snakes down there? You found a bunch of snakes, like, you know, you had this guy Al come over and you took a bunch of snakes out of your foundation, and then you found out that your neighbor had 90 snakes taken out a month ago and didn't tell you about it.
Right.
That might make for some bad blood.
Right. I would agree. By the way, how about since Sonoma County is wine country, can we not find a Merlot that we call Pacific Rattlesnake Merlot or something like that?
There you go. Somebody's probably way ahead of you on this one.
Just jump on that, for crying out loud.
That's a money-making idea right
there. Ride the lightning.
And let's now travel across the country to visit with one of America's favorite reptile wranglers. The Florida man who went viral for using a trash can to catch an alligator shared video of his latest animal encounter when a large snake invaded his home. Eugene Bozzi posted a video to Instagram showing him carrying a long snake at arm's length outside his Mount Dora home. Bozzi previously made headlines when a video went viral showing him using a trash can to catch an alligator wandering through his neighborhood. He's become so famous that he may start to get endorsement deals. The Adidas company, for example, started noticing that Bozzi likes to do his reptile removal wearing Adidas slides, and they gave him a shout out on social media, writing that some heroes wear capes, others wear slides.
Yeah. He's a retired military.
Yes,
right?
I believe so.
So
yes.
I mean, like reptiles, like don't bother him.
I guess not. I'm sure there are some military people that are afraid of snakes, Gordon. I mean,
I don't know, Mike. I don't know.
Snakes bother lots of people, but apparently not this guy.
I mean, he doesn't even take the time to put on some like steel tip boots or anything. He's just out there, toes exposed, you know, handling snakes and alligators. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I know. Not even wearing closed toed shoes.
Right. Wow, he's a beast. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. No matter what kind of wireless plan you have from any of the big wireless providers, they've all got one thing in common, the catch. The part where too good to be true has too many extra charges to be worth it. But Mint Mobile figured it out. They offer premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. What's the catch? There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is they only sell wireless service online. No retail overhead saves them and you a lot of money. You can also keep your number and your phone, no losing your existing contacts, and get unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data on the nation's largest 5G network, again, for as low as $15 a month. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. As you've probably noticed, groceries cost more now than before the pandemic. Food prices overall rose 4.6% since September of last year. Meats, poultry, fish, and eggs had the highest increases, but it's still possible to save money. USA Today identified three main ways. Number one, shop store brands. Target added its largest food brand, Good & Gather, back in 2019 and has continued to add new products. Trader Joe's and the discount grocer Aldi
are well known for carrying more products under their own private labels. Number two, buy in bulk and stock up. Shopping at Costco, Sam's Club, and BJ's Wholesale can cut your number of shopping trips down and lower your costs. And number three, use cashback apps like Ibotta, a free shopping app that makes it easy to save on most grocery store trips, online shopping, gift cards, and even booze in some states. What sets Ibotta apart is that you can use it in person at multiple stores, including Target, Walmart, Costco, Trader Joe's, and Aldi, and online at Amazon, Kohl's, Home Depot, Lowe's, Macy's, and more. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Hundreds of people have been ordered to report for jury duty today in Georgia for what could be a long, laborious effort to find jurors to hear the trial of three men charged with fatally shooting Ahmaud Arbery as he was running in their neighborhood. The slaying of the 25-year-old black jogger sparked a national outcry fueled by a graphic video of the shooting. Father and son Greg and Travis McMichael and their neighbor William Bryan are charged with murder and other crimes in Arbery's death in February of 2020. Jury selection could last 2 weeks or more.
Number two.
Three people are dead and a police officer is recovering from surgery following a knife attack in northwest Arkansas. Fort Smith Police Chief Danny Baker says officers were dispatched to a report of a disturbance and found a man, 40-year-old Christopher Connor, hitting a 15-year-old boy in the face and head with a rock.
A 16-month officer with the Fort Smith Police Department was the first to arrive on scene and announced his arrival within 2 minutes and 15 seconds of being dispatched. In just under a minute, this officer reported that he had been stabbed in the neck and shots were fired.
The officer fired 2 shots, killing Connor. The boy, identified as Connor's son, was pronounced dead at the hospital inside the home. Police located the body of a 42-year-old woman.
Number three.
Former President Bill Clinton has been discharged from the hospital after receiving treatment for a non-COVID-related infection. Clinton walked out of the UC Irvine Medical Center in California and will finish his course of antibiotics at his New York home, the 75-year-old admitted to the hospital last Tuesday. The Chinese military has condemned the U.S. and Canada for each sending a warship through the Taiwan Strait last week, claiming they were threatening peace and stability in the region. China claims democratically ruled Taiwan as its own territory and has mounted repeated Air Force missions into Taiwan's air defense identification zone over the past year, provoking anger in Taipei. Candace Parker returned home to bring Chicago a WNBA championship. She did just that, leading the Sky to the franchise's first title. Allie Quigley scored 26 points and Parker added 16 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists. As Chicago beat the Phoenix Mercury 80-74 yesterday in Game 4, the Phoenix players, led by star Diana Taurasi, left the arena without attending the postgame news conference.
Whoa, come on, ladies. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, a farewell to vulgar license plates in Maine.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PCs and tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
Some people treat investing like a game, but not Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Their digitally managed portfolios are backed by over 150 years of financial experience. So play games with your money or put it to work with a digitally managed portfolio from Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Go to Marcus.com to learn more. Brokerage and advisory services by Goldman Sachs and Company, LLC. Member SIPC. Investments involve risk and may lose value. Thanks for being with us. If you want to say something nasty, hateful, or violent on your license plates, you'll have to do it in a state other than Maine. One of the new laws allows Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows to reject vanity license plates for a variety of reasons, including hate speech, violence, obscenity, and those that are sexually explicit. The Portland Press-Herald says it also sets in place a process for Ms. Bellows to recall previously issued plates based on complaints if they cross the line. Those complaints will be reviewed by a special panel. Ms. Bellows said the state is not going to sift through the existing plates to find offensive tags and then immediately confiscate them. Currently, there are license plates with salty language, including F-bombs, references to anatomy and sex acts and general insults. One license plate simply says F you, except that on that plate, it's plainly spelled out with all seven letters. As Ms. Bello says, if you can't say it on the news, it shouldn't be on a license plate since that is state property. She says, if you want an offensive slogan, go get a bumper sticker. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.